Hello and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Jumelang, my friends, it is I, Lebukule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with Bebetsi Makalimele Chenley. And if today's title or today's topic on the poster is a little confusing, it's because it's actually a title of her book. So I'm going to read a small passage of her book just to give you a taste of what the conversation is going to be about, and also as an introduction to her voice, because I always feel like people who write memoirs are bringing about, are making us hear a different voice of who they are, you know, because you're writing a story, or it's not, a memoir is not a story of your whole life. A memoir is about writing about certain experiences that have shaped who you are. So it's not a biography or autobiography where it's like history of who you are, everything. It's not. That's not a memoir. A memoir is writing about certain pivotal moments or experiences that shaped who you are. So I'm going to read a passage from the book, and then I'm going to tell you how I met, how I know Bebetsi, and then I'm going to read her short bio, and then I'm going to give you the conversation. How's that? Okay, cool. Let's start with this little excerpt, because, you know, when someone is not quote unquote a celebrity, when you don't know their voice and you're hearing about them on the podcast, I think the best thing is to just speak from their own voice, because it's a memoir, so it's in the eye, it's in the first person. Okay, listen. I kept wondering what brought me to this point, consumed by my own thoughts of regret as I try to comprehend my current situation. My mind is telling me one thing, my body is telling me a whole different thing altogether. I don't recognize this feeling at all, except for one. My body failed me yet again, but this time it's far worse, and I fear I may be in some kind of danger. Every organ in my body aches to feel alive as it battles to survive this unfortunate state. I still don't know where I am or how I got here. It's so dark and cold and miserable all at the same time. I can taste death as it creeps in with every breath I take or don't take. At this point, I am not sure about anything. I tried moving and speaking to my dismay. Why can't I speak? Why can't I move? Something is not right. I feel so tired, and giving up seems like my only option. I can hear voices in the background, some familiar and others not. But why can't I speak? I also cannot see anything. Are my eyes even open, or do they just deceive me? Trying to hone in on the voices I hear to make out who they belong to was as difficult as the air that I breathe. Tears filled up my brokenness as I tried desperately to reason with my mind and body, as my mind as my body rejects me over and over again. Okay, so this is the opening remarks of a story of my true butterflies. A true story of my butterflies, written by Pebetsi Makalimele Chandley. So let me tell you briefly where I met her and how. So Pebetsi and I are not strictly speaking friends. So I cannot say, yo, my friend Pebetsi, except the fact that I know her and she's an acquaintance. And we've always been sweet and kind to one another. We've always sort of seen each other, especially on the socials. I've always just wanted to reach out to her, which I did at some point in 2018, because I wanted her as a guest on the podcast to talk about yoga, because yoga is a big part of who she is. It's actually a big part of what transformed her entire life. She's a yogi, as you will hear when I read her bio just now. So how I met her, it was back in 2016 or 15, one of those. Must have been 16 because my book was really, I don't know, 2015, 2016. I had one of my events because, you know, Mina, I'm a gatherer of people. I always have people gather around me. So I had one of my events at Club Nair in Alex. Now, if you know Club Nair in Alex, you know what kind of class we are talking about. Very back in the days when Club Nair was Club Nair, it doesn't exist anymore. So I had one of the Facebook friends gathering, and Pebetsi had come through with one of my friends, John. And I remember just looking at this strikingly beautiful woman. I remember saying, John, did she come with you? And it's like, yeah, she's my friend. And I, as usual, I'm the host. So I reached out to her and I remember precisely asking her, why are you so beautiful? Why are you so beautiful? And she was sweet and kind. And we got talking, and then she said something more spectacular, that she is a yogi. And not only that she has a yoga studio somewhere in Four Ways, I think. And I was blown away because, I mean, in 2015, 2016, yoga, yes, it's a thing. To me, I knew what yoga is. But to a lot of Black people, you know, yoga is just this thing that other people do. And for a Black woman to not only be a yogi, but to have a studio, I was like, who is this chick? So I really just liked her and admired her a lot. And I think we got talking and we were polite. And we followed each other on the socials, comment on each other's posts from time to time. And then in 2018, or was it 2019, I reached out so we can have a conversation about yoga. Yo, the audio on both sides was just so bad. I mean, it was just bad. I think it was back when Zoom was not so great, when Zoom cracked a lot and it did that thing that it used to do. Zoom doesn't do that lately. I don't know. They've improved, thank God. But it was just an uneditable audio. And so we canned it. The universe knew that there's going to come a time where we have a conversation that is based on this beautifully written memoir. It's really about her journey to motherhood, you know. I'm not going to tell you what the butterfly represents because you have to listen to the conversation. She will make you look at butterflies completely differently. And so, but it's a journey about how difficult it has been for her to conceive and to keep a pregnancy. And you'll have to get the book. It's beautifully written. I biased, you know, for memoirs, of course, because I'm a memoirist myself. So anyone who writes a memoir, I just find them incredibly brave and I just honor them a lot. Yes, I know they say to write the deepest truth, the real truth, you write it in fiction. But I still think that for someone to just put their life out there, or some really difficult parts of who they are, of their life, and just write it out to share with others is such an honorable act. And it would be so great if you guys buy the book and just honor her. She'll be doing book dialogues, something that I encourage her to do around Joburg. One of the things that I would like us to do with Stretch podcast listeners and Stretch students is, and it's something that we are organizing right now, Le Amanda, is when I come to Joburg, there's going to be maybe 10 or 12 of us. We are going to Pebetsi, one of Pebetsi's studios where she does yoga. We're going to have a dialogue on the book, and then we're going to do some yoga, and we're going to have lunch. Something we did some time back. I know some of you will remember this. there was a yogi that I wanted us to do yoga with. And then we had yoga, not so much a dialogue, and then a beautiful lunch. So I'm going to bring those back because I think they're just quite important for a quick connection that is not retreat, that is not 5-6 days long. You know, when I pop into the city, we connect like that in a meaningful way. Those things make me happy. And like connecting for coffee, fella, let's do something slightly deeper, have a dialogue, have a conversation with an author who happens to be a yogi, stretch and move our bodies, and then have a fantastic lunch after that. How's that? How's that? If you're in and you are part of my newsletter, yeah. Or you're not, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, please subscribe, because a lot of the content, a lot of events and activities, I send them via the newsletter, not always on social media. So if you're sitting there, go Facebook or Instagram waiting for an event and you're not on the social, on the newsletter, you may just be missing out. Okay. Now let me read her bio and then I will then give you the conversation. The conversation is about her memoir. So I'm not going to tell you what we covered because we immediately cover it as we enter the conversation. It is just one of those beautiful Black sisters hanging out, talking. So it feels very conversational. I share my own story of motherhood, which is always quite interesting because unlike many, many people, now I always just felt attacked by motherhood. I always, all my pregnancies down to down, all of them were just a complete surprise. they always just caught me by surprise, like, huh? Anyway, let me read her back. She wrote it in the first person. So I qualified as a hot Bikram yoga teacher from the India School of Yoga in Los Angeles, USA in 2012, and as a Vinyasa yoga teacher from Jonga Yoga School in Bali, Indonesia in 2022. I have since taught yoga in Bangkok, Phuket, Kenya, and all over South Africa. I also teach hula hooping, the hula hoops, you know, hula hooping. And I've seen her hula hoop on Instagram. It's just a pity we didn't speak about hula hooping in the conversation because I would like to know what it does. I really would. I also teach hula hooping and I'm a Thai yoga massage therapist in training. I have recently published a book about my journey to motherhood and how the practice of yoga helped me cope with that difficult journey. I do teach yoga from love. All I ask is that you bring an open mind and a happy, smiley face. Bebetsi Makalimele Chandli. And without further ado, I give you my conversation with Bebetsi. Bebetsi, welcome to the Stretch Podcast. I didn't realize you got married until I saw promotions of your book. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
And you and I go way back. I mean, in as much as we were not like super friends, but we were acquaintances and we've always sort of been in each other's circles. I remember we tried to podcast, I think nearly 2017 or 2018. But the podcast was...
Yes, I think it might be 2018, 2019, 2018.
Yeah, I think definitely before the 2020 thing. The audio was bad on both sides. We just canned the whole thing. But I suppose the universe was saying there's going to be a time where you have great content to share. So congratulations on the marriage and congratulations on the book.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, let's get to it then. So you wrote a book, and to be honest with you, I expected the book slightly earlier. And the reason I'm saying this is because when you and I had a conversation, I immediately could tell Hori, there is a lot of story there. I mean, there's a lot of healing. You're a yogi, so already that makes you a healer. And so I am so happy that you eventually wrote it, and it's such an offering. I have started reading and I was crying already. I mean, it's a story. It's your story uniquely, but it's a story of many people, as you know, and that tells you that someone has written a good memoir. So let's start with the title. I loved the title, a true story of my butterflies, a journey to motherhood. Why the title? What is butterflies for you? What do they represent?
Butterflies to me represents beauty. So the beauty of life, you know, butterflies have got a very short lifespan, about 2 weeks to a month at the most, unless those ones that hibernate and then they come out. But then their lifespan from being in a cocoon, being a caterpillar and being a butterfly, it's very short. So without giving a lot out of the book, the six butterflies are the six babies that I lost who people say miscarriage, but I believe those are losses. That, you know, this, they had a very short lifespan and they're beautiful. So the butterflies are all colorful, like my tattoo. Everything is colorful. And it's, you know, I love color. Color gives you life, you know. That's why I got with butterflies, because they're so beautiful.
Oh, I just got goosebumps because I've never had miscarriage explained like that. But no, it's losses. They came and they lived for a short time. Just like butterfly. Yeah. That's a beautiful way of seeing it. And do you, and this is not part of the book, but I just want to go with this butterfly trail. Do you think that the souls of your children that you lost knew that that's what they were doing? So it's not a miscarriage, as they say it. It's not a mistake. It's a soul coming through you and not going on and just living a short life. Like a butterfly. Do you believe in that or how do you see it?
Yeah, I believe in that, that, you know, these beings were in my tummy. They were made. There were miracles that live in my body.
Yeah.
When they were in my body, they were alive. So that's how they were. I take them, like you say, it's beautiful souls that have lived, although they had short lifespan. Yeah. The miscarriage, I know it's a good medical word, but then it just doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
When I was writing the book, I had like deep discussions with my editor, like, it's a miscarriage. I'm like, I know, but it's a loss to me, you know, like stillborn. I'm like, no, it's not stillborn. They were born sleeping.
They were born. It's not a stillborn.
Yeah, but sleeping. You know?
Yes, yes. Remind me of another friend of mine who also, well, we'll use the term for the sake of the conversation. She also miscarried six or seven. And she says she has such a strong bond with all of them. And she knows their personalities. She knows how their temperaments. She does dream about some of them, especially the last one, because she eventually did give birth to live children who are quite small now. It's around our age. So nalibana babanyani. And she says she always... There's always communication between her and the past souls. Are you having the same thing? Do you dream about them? Does it?
No, I don't dream about them as, you know, I always dream about them as babies, like they never grew up.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, they never grew up. They're still babies and they're like, funny, they're all the same age. Just me having their names, it gives them different personalities, you know. Because I had given them all names. If you had gone through the book, you'll see each and every chapter has got a baby's name.
Yes, I saw that the chapters are, and I love how you named your chapters. It's just like a word or a name, and you go on. Yes. I can't wait. I mean, when we are done here. Because at first I'm like, oh, maybe let's postpone the podcast until I'm done with the book, but I can't wait. to the listeners, yeah. And so I might not finish, but although it's a quick read, as I say, you write very well. You're captivating. I see a movie. I wish it becomes a movie or a documentary. Okay.
Your word to the universe, right?
Yes, may it just be a Netflix series, please. Okay, so let's get into it, and thank you for sharing the metaphor of butterflies. I will now look at a butterfly completely differently. So you open the book with such a graphic scene of you in ICU. I mean, that scene, oh my God, I was like paging through. And what I loved about it, or what I found fascinating, was you were in ICU, clearly in a coma, clearly after one of the episodes, which you will explain now. But what I found interesting was you didn't know whether it was weeks or hours or days, that whole situation of being in a coma. Do you want to share with my listeners, or What is that like? Because it's like it feels like near-death experience. So would you say it was a near-death experience?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that, again, in the book, I do explain that my family was called because my heart stopped at some point. Before I got into the coma, and my heart had stopped, so I had to be resuscitated. And, you know, my family was told to come and say their goodbyes. Like, you know, if she makes it through the night, she might be a cadet. Yeah, it is a near-death experience, and that experience changes you forever. It cannot explain it, you know. A lot of people will say once that happened, they saw themselves getting into heaven and all, whatever. But with me, I could hear, you know, people talking around me. I couldn't respond. It was like a very strange place to be, you know. Yes, yes. And later when I asked them, were they there? And people who I wanted there, I felt like they were not there. And the brain chose to listen to other people and not to other people, you know.
That was very interesting because you did hear your dad, because your dad was clearly saying, I'm not burying my child. And your mother-in-law was also saying, listen, you don't have to make children for us. Just be alive. Yeah. And you're hearing all this while trapped in a body cavity, a body that you don't know what's going on. I just found your explanation and how you wrote that so interesting. That's why I can see a picture. I can see a movie. So let's talk about your need, and I'm saying need loosely, for being a mother, because I don't know if you eventually became a mother. You will tell us. Was it an innate thing that I want to be a mom, I want to be a mom, or was it a societal pressure, or what is it? And let me tell you why I'm asking. I had a child at 16, so I was a teen mom. And then I soon also had another child at 22. So I've had my kids very young. Last one, Talu, that I always talk about, I had him at 31, which for me, it's really, really late. Some people say, what, 31? 31, that's when people really start. So for me, Lulitebe, who I had, got 16 and 22, and then Talu at 31, does feel a bit late. So I'm asking this because all three of my kids for me came as like complete unexpected. Obviously, a teen child, I didn't expect to be a mom at 16. At 20, I was in a marriage that I just hated, baby. I really wanted to run. And then boom, I'm pregnant. At 31, I was going through what you went through in your business, which we will talk about when you had to close your business down. So I'm going bankrupt. I can actually, and then boom, I'm pregnant with Dal. So my journey to motherhood always just caught me off guard. Something I can't say that I've ever sat in a place where I'm like, oh my God, I'm broody. I want a child. How has it been for you?
Yeah, I do understand your story. Like, I do explain as well that not all our journeys are the same.
Yeah.
It's not one size fits all. So I thought, you know, I can like design my life the way I want it, be this perfect girl, not be pregnant until I do want to be pregnant. Yeah. Although, you know, before, because I lost my mom at a young age, I thought, you know what, I've actually said it out loud. I do not want kids, you know, because, you know, kids, you never know when you're going to lose a parent. So the pain of losing my mom at such a young age, I was like, I do not want to wish this on, I do not want to inflict this pain on any child. So I'd rather stay and not have kids at all, you know? Until then, you know, when you meet this person and, you know, you can see him with kids, that he loves kids. And I'm so in love at the time. I'm like, you know what? Let's change this. You know, it can change how we feel with as you get older, priorities change. Now I want a child.
How old were you then?
I got married at 29.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So nobody.
Yes, and my husband then was 32.
Okay. Yeah.
You know? And it was like, no, it's time. Let's do this. Let's have kids. Get married and have kids. And by 35, we've had three kids and then we continue our life. Yeah, you know. So yeah, the yearning that it got so intense because then you in your head you've tried so much not to have babies. Now you have babies and it's not happening as you want it to happen. And you know, as we're growing up, friends are falling pregnant and they're like stressed, like you say, in a young age, they're stressed, they don't want those babies. Mm. And you kept control until at that age where you like, you know, I'm doing things right, you know? You know, even my dad, when they came to, you know, to ask my hand in marriage the first time, he was like, you know, I'll go out to support you. You never gave me problems, my baby. You never came back, you know, home with a pregnancy and whatever. You know, you never
did
love. You're such a good girl. Now I want this baby and the yearning. I mean, I explained it like I was like a dog with a bone. Like I was trying. I was like, time is running out. I'm not going to sit and wait for this baby to come. You know, I went through all the treatments and the yearning is something on another level, you know. It is like, and it's a lonely road, you know, at 30, 31, that's when people are inviting you to baby showers, people are getting married, people are having babies, and your friends, your peers, that's the age where it's a, you know, baby making age. Yeah, of those people who think we've made it in life, our careers are in order, now it's time to make babies, and it's not happening for me. Mm. You know, there's a very lonely road and a very tough road. And very misunderstood, you know, with you know, elderly people in the family, especially like, you know, you had this grand, big wedding. Next step now. That's where you see it.
And we ask, people ask, like, so,
people ask.
Baby? And then when you have a baby, then we'll ask you, when is baby number two coming? And then if baby number two is the same sex, maybe they're two girls, then we're going to ask you, why don't you try for a
True. Hey?
I think societal pressure is intense. But yeah, I mean, people will have to just get your book and read the journey. I want to now pivot to how I met you around your studio and yoga. So to the listeners, I remember meeting Bebetsi. You had come with one of my friends to one of my events, Alexander. I think it was lovely.
Yeah.
I don't know what you remember. But I remember seeing this strikingly beautiful woman. And then I very vocal when I see something beautiful. I think I did tell you, but you're so pretty. Why are you so pretty? You're so beautiful and you had poise and you were in your center. Because you have a lot of presence. I don't know if people tell you this. Like it's very hard to ignore you. Mm-hmm. Beauty aside, the fact that you look pretty aside, I think you have a very strong presence and an energy in you that says, come close. And then we got talking and you said something once again that blew me away. I am a yogi and I have a yoga studio. And you were a Black woman in 2016 or something like that. Something that was unheard of. Mm. And you subsequently had to close your studio down. Let's talk a little bit about you and yoga. Why did you get into yoga? Because I know it's linked to the miscarriages and your body.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Mm.
So when I was struggling with fertility, of course, Dr. Google came in handy. Then I read that, you know, yoga and flexology, the combination, it's just magic, you know, for you to fall pregnant. I had no clue about those two practices. I was this person who went to gym and was like on the treadmill and weights and stuff, never gave yoga. Yeah, I never gave it a second glance, and reflexology, I didn't even have a clue what it means, you know? Yeah, but then I got to meet this reflexologist because I saw a board that said this reflexologist. So I got to meet her, and, you know, as she was giving me treatment, she said, interesting, why do you want to do reflexology, you know? And I said, no, I'm trying to fall pregnant, and I was told this combination then. After you, I'm going to be looking for a yoga practice, somewhere to practice. And she said, no, I'm a yoga teacher as well, you know. And that's how I combined the two. And I'm telling you, that was magic for me. It worked. within a few months, I was pregnant with a combination. Little did I know that my challenges are bigger than trying to fall pregnant. My more challenges were like keeping the pregnancy now, you know, and that's how I got into yoga as a practitioner.
And did you get into the spirituality of it, you know, of the yoga, you know, especially Kundalini yoga is ancient. Well, yoga is ancient, but I believe Kundalini is like the mother of all of them. Did you then eventually go into the depth of the spirituality of yoga? Or it was just still at body level? Because some people use it the way they use aerobics.
You know? Yeah. In the beginning, yes, I got into it as a workout that worked for me.
Did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You'd simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes' show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights as always.